from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's Big Ten Media Week with Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app. Jump back to earlier parts of your favorite fan shows on the Odyssey app. The only way to rewind Portland's sports leader.
Big Ten Media Week with Danny and Dusty on 1080.
College football.
The Fan.
Good afternoon. Wow. Hey, happy Monday. Gosh, I feel like we're getting ready to go into battle right now. Sheesh,
then
Russ.
I've done my job well.
Our battle music is different. You know what? This is very like an entering Big Ten battle. I mean, it's not Pac-12 battle. This is, you know, it's got a different feel to it. You got to have a little bit of like, it's got to be a workout vibe, you know, like a Pac-12 Media Day week was like the Beach Boys. This is more.
They want to take you down to Kokomo?
Yeah, this is more Vision Quest, Rocky, blood sport that you're entering now when you enter Big Ten country.
There we go. Let's get fired up.
Yeah, Karate Kid.
Oh, just you wait. That's next hour.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be a little bit different.
That's next hour.
Hot damn. I'm ready. Let's go.
Let's get fired up.
Everybody have a good weekend? Absolutely. Good weekends, everyone? All the way around?
Yeah.
All right.
Headed down to the coast?
Ooh.
No way. You went down to the coast?
I know.
No,
it's so weird. That never happens.
No way. Rust went to Manzanita.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Of the Oregon coast.
How was the weather out there? We had thunder and lightning here on Sunday morning.
As well. And it was Sunday morning, yesterday morning. And it rolled through the coast first before it got here.
Yeah, a lot of rain.
Morning? What is this morning you speak?
Yeah, you don't know. It was probably all dried up by the time you came out of your cave.
Yeah.
What time did you see daylight yesterday?
9?
No. Oh, that's not that bad.
9:30?
You probably saw a little bit of those remnants, huh?
I got the blackout curtains everywhere.
We got those in our room.
No, legitimately.
No, he has them everywhere.
Yeah, everywhere. We did get new blinds, which, my God, they're wonderful. And my wife's like, I don't know, maybe they're a little too dark. And
that's old. That's an old person. Like, we got new blinds, and God, these are great.
Well, the thing was, the old ones, number one, they sucked. They were like, I think they were like the original blinds.
Are these the special soundproof ones so the neighbors don't hear the screams?
Well, yeah, obviously. But no, they...
People are wondering.
I don't know how to put this. They seal. Like, so when you close them, like, they eliminate the light entirely.
That's great.
And so, because we have this giant bay window in the living room that if you're watching a show, like, between 4 and 9, some sort of glare would come through the blinds.
Just
very irritating.
Can't have that.
And now, we don't have to deal with that.
You don't have that at all.
But I just pretty much leave them closed all the time now. And it's great because now my house is like a cave.
Hey.
I like my little bat cave.
All right. All right, so we had the beach, we had a bat cave, and a going away party for one of my good buddies and his family. They're moving to Arkansas.
Willfully, huh?
Yeah, on purpose?
Yeah, on purpose, yeah. Yeah. Right. He works for Walmart.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah.
Not at Walmart.
There's a huge difference
Big distinction. Yes.
Yeah.
He doesn't wear the blue vest. He works not at Walmart.
He's not inside the front door greeting you?
No. No. Though.
Making sure you don't shoplift.
I mean, there is job security there. He can stay within the Walmart family for, like, until he dies. I mean, that is some security there. But no, he's moving to beautiful Bentonville, Arkansas, here at the end of the month. And so we had a going away party for them.
You and I talked about this off air last week.
Went a little deep.
Went a little deep.
And as olds do, we looked at the real estate in Bentonville.
Yeah.
And we were blown away by what you can get in Arkansas.
Yeah, you can get a lot. You can get a lot for not that much.
Well, I remember before old Crazy Eyes McGinley moved away from here. Yeah, he was showing me stuff in what was it, Alabama? Yes. I think he moved to. It's like, wow. Yeah, you can get a lot for a little.
Yeah, turns out.
But then, of course, you're living in Alabama.
Yeah, and I had this conversation with him. There's a lot of people that you can die because of the bugs in Arkansas because they've got a lot of animals that can kill you there. They got the bugs, the spiders.
Snakes.
They got the snakes.
Hogs.
Sure. Pig, hogs. Woo pig suey.
Yeah. 50 feral hogs.
Sure.
Right? Wasn't that where that was?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Also, hog hunting in Arkansas, there is no limit.
Yeah.
That's how.
They're everywhere, man.
They're just.
Master P, no limit soldiers when it comes to hunting those hogs.
I legitimately know somebody who did a helicopter hog hunt in Arkansas.
Yeah. I had a buddy whose bachelor party was to go hog hunting in Texas.
And did they do the nighttime one with night vision?
Yeah, they did.
Pretty badass.
Yeah, they did. And there was a lot of. It didn't seem fair. I was like, well, yeah.
Yeah. Night vision, automatic weapons, helicopters. Enjoy.
Yeah. I somehow missed on that one. Yeah. But sorry, guys. Catch you at the wedding, you know?
Well, Charles Barkley had a different definition of hog hunting.
I'd rather go to San Antonio with them big old women.
But it just brought up the conversation this weekend of, look, it's a safe place to live here. Because you don't have to worry, like, we don't have that many things that'll kill you. I mean, you got
one Danny Meringue.
Yeah, and a meringue.
That's true.
I mean, a rich tradition of serial killers. Ted Bundy, anybody? You know, I mean.
Who's the Green River?
I don't know.
I don't know that one.
I don't know. He dabbled in Oregon, though. But, you know, we don't have a lot
Gary
of animals.
Gary Ridgway.
We don't have a lot of animals that'll kill you out here. You know, just like stay away from the cougars.
Yeah.
And the spiders really aren't that big of an issue.
There's some Southern bears Oregon, out Eastern there, Oregon. Some black bears.
Yeah, but those aren't, you know, we're not commingling. We're not commingling with them.
Valid point.
You know, they mind their own business. I mean, when's the last time we had like a bear attack in a city? We don't have that.
Nope.
You don't. So it's a nice place to live. We're just waiting on the big earthquake still.
It's coming anytime.
Any minute between now and 500 years from now, that big one is going to happen. So it's not that bad.
It actually might not be that far off, too, because I got tornadoes there, too. I get Twitter notifications from the, I don't remember if it's the National Weather Service or what, but for earthquakes around the region and whether or not to expect a tsunami. And like last week, for 4 or 5 days straight, there was just frequent ones like about 100 miles southwest of Port Alice, British Columbia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
Real close by.
Ring of fire. Yeah, here's a Vancouver Ford text line. I know people that live around Bentonville and Fayetteville, Arkansas, and they rave about it. They say we should keep laughing at them, but it's actually a great place. Fayetteville is consistently voted one of the best college cities in America. Okay. Yeah, no.
I'll keep laughing at them.
Well, no, here's the thing, though, is that Walmart knew. They're like, we just can't move people out here and have it just be like, normal Arkansas. So they pumped a lot of money into the city of Bentonville, and I've heard it is fantastic as well. I've heard it's great out there. And I'll visit sometime, but I'll take their word for it until then.
Exactly. Yeah. I'll take your word for it.
Yeah. You know, it's a great place to live. Whatever. You know?
Salute.
God bless you.
Have you.
See ya. All right. Boo. We need the update, Danny. How's your dynasty going on college football?
It's going well. We've improved. We've played
the Houston Cougars.
The Houston Cougars. We played through two seasons, two whole seasons.
Yeah.
We weirdly enough in year two, the Charlotte 49ers made the college football playoff. They got themselves a lot of transfers.
There we go.
And we boat raced them.
Oh,
so no. And then we ran into Florida. And apparently Florida found every track star in the country.
Yep. That'll happen. Speed kills, bud.
My corners didn't stand a chance. We're still working on recruiting that back end speed.
Yeah.
We got some 91, 92 speed. Like, we got some good speed. Florida had 3 wide receivers with 97 or higher
speed.
Yeah,
so you're struggling right there.
Yeah, I got beat over the top. Had to play real deep. had keep everything in front of us, and even then we still broke. But we made the college football playoff.
All right, hey, good way to go. That. Way to go. I got a buddy who's doing the I don't know what it's called, where you do the create a player and
the road to glory.
Yeah. Road to glory. And he was like, is real, he goes, playing corner in this game is like real life. Like, it is hard.
It's tough.
It's really, yeah. really hard.
I made a mic, and I got rolled. I had one the other day where it was absolutely hilarious. I went to Phil, and I tried to swim over, and the animation was fantastic.
Was he built like a little butt plug?
Oh,
like?
yeah, absolutely.
He's just like a little guy?
Yep, 5'10", 235, baby. It's me. And I got literally the guard. The animations are incredible in this game. Yeah. The guard literally put both hands under my pads and threw me. Just yeeted me. And I was like, oh my God, are you kidding me?
I'll tell you, that is one thing that game has done a really good job of, mm-hmm. is that they have the comedy of some of the people. There's a guy who's doing the Road to Glory, and he's a running back, and there's a video, he's a streamer, and there's a video of him getting put in at slot receiver, mm-hmm. and he's like, no, no, no.
Got no hands.
He just has no idea what to do at any point, and the ball just, and he melted down through the controller. Controller tosses are back. I think that's why they brought back college football, because
controller
that
were
game
down.
Is the most controller thrown game of all time.
Easily.
Hands down, not even close.
Yeah.
Not even close.
It's tough.
All right.
It's tough. But we're doing well.
So going back to the old Gary Ridgway here,
uh-oh.
Coming to us from the old Vancouver Ford text line. Dark fact about the Green River Killer, one of his victims was Martell Webster's mother.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh.
And so I did a quick Google search, and apparently, yeah, they never found her body, but she is believed to be one of his victims.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Good Lord.
On the brighter side, somebody asked how my kicking game is in College Football 25. Miserable. My kicker at Houston is terrible.
Boy, that was a pivot.
Yeah, I was getting off the serial killer. A little too close to home.
I was just, no.
No.
That was quite the...
I think I just got swatted on the nose with a newspaper.
okay.
But no, kicking in that game... I played Colorado in the Big 12 championship.
I feel like we're getting a little too close for comfort.
Yeah, that's what I said. I had to pivot away.
He's just like, No. Kicking!
Yeah.
Kickers!
Yeah, it was
Everybody
Gary
hates
Ridgway.
Kickers.
That's who it was.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's I missed three field goals in the Big 12 title, and one because I made a field goal.
See, and
it's
there
tough.
We go.
It's very tough.
And this is why the most common term on any football team in America is
never trust kickers.
Effing kickers. Yeah. Effing kickers.
Yeah, I was missing like 30-yard chip shots. It was tough.
You have to be more mentally tough than that.
My kicker is atrocious.
Who cares?
Yeah, it was like
a corner, not a kicker.
I do. No, you need both. Need both for sure. But no, they make it like I have all the settings like tuned all the way up with a bunch of sliders to like make it as real as possible.
And yeah,
it's humbling.
Yeah, yeah,
very, very, very like when you play a team that has superior talent, like a Florida or God, I played Georgia. There's no hope.
Okay. Well, so it's like real life.
Yes. That's what I'm
real life.
Like, there's just no hope. Like they had a pass rusher who was like a 97 overall in year two, and my poor sophomore left tackle was just getting thrown.
What are you going to do? Like, you're getting into this. This is perfect for you.
No,
a little tease for later.
Mm.
We have fun with audio.
Indeed.
Because now major sports networks are getting in on this mm-hmm. action. Because you were talking about it like this is your real life.
No, yeah, it's fantastic.
Like the suffering is happening in mm-hmm. front of you, and the networks are getting in on it. So we got a little fun with audio that we actually have a lot of audio.
This is what happens when you're deprived of this wonderful game for a decade.
That is true.
It's true.
And now, look, we're right around the corner. It is Big Ten Media Days this week. Days. That was plural. It's 3 days.
Multiple. They have that many days, and they still don't have any kind of organization.
Swigart is hitchhiking to Indianapolis as we speak.
En route.
Mm-hmm.
Got his...
John Denver's full of S, man.
Yeah, well, he's got his his bag full of 6-minute abs, too.
Mm-hmm. Yep, he's hitchhiking there right now. Tomorrow, we will have interviews from Big Ten Media Days. The first wave of schools. If you're wondering, Oregon and Washington are on the final day.
Of course.
So we got to wait till Thursday for them. But they do the slow rollout. There's 54 student athletes that are going to be there.
What's what happens when you have 18 schools?
Hot damn.
Big Ten.
So we will start Big Ten Media Days. Today we also have Fun with Audio Team USA, where Gilbert Arenas, whoa, bud.
My God. Yeah.
I mean, this was aggressive. This Gilbert Arenas.
There's a couple other times. Okay. Can you say that?
No.
Oh, hey, no. One real quick thing, heading back to Big Ten Media Day. This kind of breaking news. Wednesday and Thursday, we'll be blowing out Colin Cowherd. Dirt and Sprague Live 6 to 10 and Us Live 10 to 3.
There we go.
There you go.
That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. We will be on 10 to 3 and for Wednesday and Thursday. So get your Swatch watches set. Get your pocket watches set. Set a reminder. No Colin. On Wednesday or Thursday, it'll be a Big Ten Media Day Palooza. So giddy up, Buttercup.
Wah, 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 wah.
Yeah, this is going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. But Team USA, we will have to discuss that. And then the Portland Trailblazers wrapped up their summer league over the weekend as well. And Donovan Klingon. How are we feeling about Donovan Klingon now? We're going to revisit a poll we had earlier when you were down in summer league. I want to revisit that poll on how people feel about Donovan Klingon as the Blazers wrapped up their summer league without him on yesterday they played in Houston.
Sunday.
But in between now and then, we got a lot of news, including some baseball stuff, a lot of great baseball stuff, and college football. But it is Big Ten Media Days that are coming up, and we have preseason poll that has been released. Who will win the Big Ten? You can go to @DannyDusty and vote. Next on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You can go to Danny and Dusty on X or Twitter, whatever you call it, and you can vote. Some are saying maybe the most important vote you cast this year. I don't know. I've just heard that.
Probably.
Yeah,
it's the most impactful one.
Nothing else really going on. But we do have a poll that is up. Other, you can respond in the comments as always. But we took the top four from the USA Today media poll. And it's also the top four from the Cleveland.com media poll of Big Ten preseason football. Because the conference itself doesn't do it. They don't play those games. They don't say, we are going to pull the media here at our media days. Like, I don't know, every other conference in the country does. They say, no, you guys can do it on your own. The top four vote getters in both the USA Today and the Cleveland.com preseason polls are tied for third, Penn State and Michigan. You have Oregon, which in the USA Today media poll received 5 first place votes. In the Cleveland.com media poll, they received 6 first place votes. And Ohio State, which received 8 first place votes by USA Today and 21 by Cleveland.com. Go ahead and vote, because we need all of these votes to count, and they all matter. Who will win the Big Ten? The Big Ten preseason media poll does in fact have the Oregon Ducks second, according to USA Today, only behind Ohio State. Michigan and Penn State tied for third. USC at fifth. Iowa sixth, with Wisconsin, Nebraska, Washington go 7-8-9. Rutgers rounding out the top 10 in the Big Ten. The bottom half of the conference looks as follows. Maryland, Michigan State at 12 in Jonathan Smith's first year. Minnesota 13, UCLA 14, Illinois, Indiana, Northwestern, and Purdue rounding out the Big Ten voting.
That sounds about right.
You'd think, I think
I think Indiana being down that far was a bit surprising.
No, they got Cignetti, the head coach from James Madison, just came over. Mm-hmm. They got Pillage in the portal. They didn't have a lot of talent there to begin with last year. Indiana down at the bottom is not good. And look, the only difference between Cleveland.com is really at the bottom of the poll, where they flip-flop Iowa and Michigan at 5 and 6, where mm-hmm. Iowa and USC. Iowa's fifth, USC is sixth, which they're just banking on defense in the Big Ten. It's the Big Ten defense,
it
right?
Plays.
And then at the bottom, you have UCLA, Northwestern 14, UCLA 15, Michigan State in the Cleveland.com poll is 16. And then Indiana at 17, Purdue at 18.
I think Aiden Childs and Jonathan Smith are going to be surprising there, even with all the changes and everything else. I think that conference, and we'll talk about this a little bit later, is going to be surprised by the level of quarterback play coming into that conference.
I agree with that. I agree, and I think Jonathan Smith is too good of a head coach to be that bad. They are not going to be good because of what happened in the portal.
Yeah.
Over 2 years in the portal at Michigan State, you know, with the defections after the Mel Tucker stuff, and then you have the full overhaul with Jonathan Smith coming in. He did bring a lot of talent from Oregon State with him, including Aiden Childs at quarterback, and that's one of the most important positions in all of sports. So you do have a quarterback, but Aiden Childs still unproven. Yeah. And that is kind of the story of quarterback play in the Big Ten this year, mm-hmm. is you've got some guys, but either they're new faces on a roster, or they just haven't played very much football.
Or they're new teams to a new conference.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that when you look at the way the Big Ten media is looking at the new additions to the conference, I think that Michigan State and Jonathan Smith, they will be better than what people anticipate, because coaching does matter.
Yep.
Even as from a talent discrepancy standpoint, coaching does matter. And when you play them will have a massive difference in the way that Michigan State team looks at the beginning of the year to the end of the year. But I also think Washington kind of being pegged in that middle of the pack, right, at 9th and 10th in the two respective polls that have come out. Jed Fish is a hell of a football coach.
Yeah.
Then now Washington was a product of an elite coach and elite weapons, especially on the offensive side of the football for UW. But Jed Fish, I think, in Washington will surprise some people because – look, they're kind of stuck in this mix of Rutgers with Greg Schiano in a slow build. Nebraska will start a true freshman quarterback in Dylan Raiola, who's a 5-star quarterback and has a lot of, you know, hype coming in around him. But Jed Fish is going to kind of slowly but surely. He went out in the transfer portal. He plucked himself a veteran quarterback from Mississippi State that he feels can come in and play right away and kind of guide the ship. It'll be, all right, how good are some of their pieces as the season goes on? I think what we look at, though, in the Big Ten is very similar to what the Pac-12 was. It is going to be top-heavy, and the teams that are really good are going to be really damn good. The middle of it is going to be – it's going to be a tight race in the middle of the Big Ten this year, because I thought the Pac-12 was deeper than what people gave it credit for.
Yeah, absolutely. Last year, 100%.
The last 2 years, the Pac-12, the middle of that conference –
better
was
than
really damn good.
Not even better than most. It's probably better than every other conference in the country.
And this is where I think the Big Ten is: Ohio State, Oregon, Michigan, Penn State, Iowa, SC. Those are five teams right there that on any given Saturday, they will give you fits.
Yes.
You know, Iowa, from just the sheer talent they have on the defensive side of the football, they're going to be playing same old Iowa football, but hopefully they have
and white, another white corner.
Yeah. Hopefully they can figure out some semblance of offense. I don't have a ton of faith in that.
I'll tell you what, you know who else doesn't have faith? College Football 25. The Iowa offensive coordinators have been fired both years.
All right, there you go. So
even the video games are out on Iowa coordinators.
But SC is the antithesis of what Iowa is, right? Where their offense is going to be loaded again this year. Yeah. Miller Moss at quarterback after a great Holiday Bowl and the preparations. He had raved reviews coming into the Holiday Bowl and out of the Holiday Bowl that he could be the next great quarterback for Lincoln Riley at USC. But it is, on the flip side, they had to overhaul their entire defense and their entire defensive staff. So, you know, how long does that transition take? How quickly can they become a serviceable defense?
Which what which is insane, but yes.
Not just...
not good, serviceable.
Not just an absolute disaster on that side of the football, which is what
they
were
up on themselves again.
Handful of years.
Yeah.
With Michigan, the turnover, 18 draft picks. Mm-hmm.
Their entire offense, with the exception of the running back. And can they be... can Sean Moore get it done as the head coach? Can Alex Orji, which will certainly have old Gus excited about the end zone.
Yeah. No, that's RG3.
Oh, RG3. That's right.
It was RG3. That was RG3. That,
yes.
With an all-timer.
Which, I mean, it's up there on the...
it's an orgy in the end zone.
He wasn't wrong. He was technically correct, and that's the best kind of correct. Donovan Edwards at running back, but they're even with sending so much of that defense to the NFL, they've still got another dude on the front end, and they've got a tight end who's an absolute monster.
And
so.
I think you look at the top four teams, it's kind of starting at Michigan and going up. This is the power of recruiting forward, mm-hmm. and having stacking your recruiting classes one after the other is that there's always going to be talent, right? It's like Arrested Development. There's always money in the banana stand.
Yep.
Right? You always got something hidden away on your roster. And look, the head coach leaving, that is huge. J.J. McCarthy gone, that is huge. Roman Wilson being absent from that offense, that is going to be a big miss. But as you said, if you recruit forward, there is talent there. Same thing with Penn State, right? Penn State and Drew Aller. Drew Aller was dynamite against anybody that wasn't good.
Yeah.
Can he take the next step this year and be that quarterback that you kind of look at and say, all right, he can elevate the people around him against good teams especially?
I had a friend of mine who's a big Big Ten guy who said, why do quarterbacks keep convincing themselves that going to Penn State is good for them? Mm. It feels like you're Matthew McConaughey in Interstellar and you're just screaming through the dimensions, no, don't do it. It's not good for you.
Right. But then you got guys like Christian Hackenberg.
Yeah, Hackenberg. Yeah.
He was really good at Penn State. And there was like, yeah, he's going to be top pick in the draft. It's like, no, he's not.
No.
No, he's not. I think he was second round pick.
Yeah, and he did not last.
He did not last in the NFL. No. But they've stacked talent kind of everywhere else. And James Franklin is a guy who has squeezed talent out of his roster, but they've never been as deep as everybody else in the conference. And that shows up in those big games against Ohio State and Michigan. And now you have, oh, by the way, more good teams that are joining the conference with Oregon, Washington, USC, and I guess UCLA.
They're another team that's joining.
Sean Foster.
Another team that's joining. That's what they are.
They're here.
Yeah.
They're here. But then you have Oregon and Ohio State at 1 and 2, mm-hmm. and it kind of feels like the hype that is around both of those teams and both of those rosters, you look at it and you say, a lot of the talent that is there has either proven themselves in Columbus and in Eugene, or they've proven themselves somewhere else, and they've found a good landing spot. Both those teams have recruited very well over the last handful of years, and they've stacked their transfer portal. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the fun part about the transfer portal being open, is you can fill the holes on your roster and your weaknesses. And some of them, you know, whether it's Marcus Harmon, who transferred from Michigan State to Oregon this year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got a guy who's in the middle, who's experienced Big Ten football before. There's familiarity across the board. Hell,
it's helpful.
Purdue's quarterback played for Will Stein in high school.
Mm-hmm.
At Lake Travis High School. Hudson Card was Will Stein's quarterback at Lake Travis High School.
Turns out Lake Travis High School, pretty good.
Yeah, Garrett Wilson was their number one receiver.
God.
Garrett.
Hey!
I was in
some talent.
I'll never forget Will Stein dropped the, I used to coach high school football. You know, I was just like you guys. And then he flips on film and it was like, indoor practice facility
with Hudson Card and Garrett Wilson,
quarterback with a howitzer for an arm, and this receiver that you're going, what is that guy? Because he looks like a mutant.
Yeah. Turns out, yeah, he was an absolute mutant of a wide receiver.
No, this isn't the same, man.
No,
this isn't the same.
Not a lot of those in Oregon. Rufio points out, have you seen Rutgers recruiting class? They're doing work much higher than traditionally average.
Absolutely.
I will
Shiano
say,
man.
Not just that, Rutgers has found the magic sauce to the NIL. Not just football, but in basketball as well, bringing in two of the top five prospects in the country in basketball.
Ooh.
So it's not exactly a coincidence that all of a sudden Rutgers is getting guys. As much as we say, it's like NIL doesn't matter, NIL doesn't matter. I mean, it does. For a team like Rutgers, it matters more than you could possibly imagine, because they went from like, meh, We're not the worst in football and also ran in basketball to having, again, two of the five highest rated recruits in college basketball and getting a couple top 300 recruits in football.
Well, I'll tell you, they're going back to the well, be like, we are the original blue blood. Rutgers football's been around
forever.
Forever.
Ever. Weren't they like one of the founding like 12 teams or something?
I think Rutgers' first football game.
It's like 1912, isn't it?
Yeah. 1869.
Good God.
Princeton versus Rutgers. It was the first football game.
So, yeah, they are the legitimate blue blood.
Yeah. The Rutgers Queensmen won 6-4.
Wow, you went from the Queensmen to the Knights?
Scarlet Knights. It's kind of not just the Knights. I know,
but I mean, that's kind of a drop off. You go from Queen to Knight?
Yeah, but I mean, look, nobody wants to be the Queensmen. This is America, okay?
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
Get rid of the royalty.
We did not.
We were only, like, you think about it, we're only at like that game was what, 120 years removed from Britain?
Yeah. You know, this is.
That's nuts.
We're not. We did not win a Revolutionary War, and we did not have Independence Day to be the Queensmen, for God's sake.
America.
That's what I'm talking about.
Also, Kingsmen.
Yeah, why not the Kingsman?
Yeah, like don't settle for less.
Yeah,
I'm not saying
what are we doing?
I'm not saying women are less. I'm just saying the king is more powerful.
Is he?
Yeah.
All right.
King overrules the queen always.
Well, they are the queen's men though,
so they're lesser.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not even queens.
I mean, even the Kingsmen, you're lesser than the king. So the Scarlet Knights, you're just going out murdering folks. Doesn't matter, king or queen.
Adding the scarlet means it's bloody, right?
That's right.
Bloody Knights.
All right. Who you voting for to win the Big Ten this year? On the Danny and Dusty official poll, get your vote in. Get your vote in. Ohio State, Oregon, Michigan, Penn State, or other?
Let's legit question marks for every single one of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it could come down to Ohio State and Oregon playing in October in Eugene.
Or you know? Oregon playing at Michigan.
Oregon playing at Michigan on November 2nd.
Hmm.
Those things matter. All right. The votes, as it currently stands now. Oregon, 71% of the vote. I wonder why.
Shocking.
Ohio State is at 25.7%. Michigan, 2.9%. Nobody with faith in the Penn State Nittany Lions.
Well, you shouldn't.
That's actually true.
Just throwing that out there.
All right. Okay. All right. We'll get to that then. All right. 503-864-6326. That is the Vancouver Ford text line. We'll get to some of your feedback as the show goes on. And we need to talk about this because you mentioned it. Quarterback play. Quarterback play in the Big Ten is going to be a doozy. But I wanted to get your thoughts on Portland Trailblazers Summer League as they wrapped up Vegas Summer League over the weekend. A blowout loss on Friday night with Donovan Klingon. And wrapping it up with a win over the Houston Rockets last night. Without Donovan Klingon. First is Rust with SportsCenter. Portland Trailblazers wrapped up Summer League yesterday with a win over the Houston Rockets, 105-95. No Donovan Klingon in that game. They shut him down. They said, young man, you did a great job.
Yeah, Game 5 is also the way that Summer League's set up now. It's kind of an agent favors kind of a deal.
Okay.
That's when you get guys out there who you're gonna help them out and help them get some tape to put out there. You've got your guy who's now played four games in a week who has never done that before at this level. Well, so,
and that was like the yesterday was a great example of what you're talking about with Kennedy Chandler, who he got his like yesterday and he tried that game one.
Yeah. Kendrick Davis.
Kendrick Davis was
the one who did it in game one. And
Kendrick Davis.
Yeah, he got the memo when he got moved to the bench as Chandler took over as point guard. That was a real thing that happened. Davis
Chandler looked good, though.
Look, they're both 5'11".
Mm-hmm.
For those on the radio audience, I'm air quoting very hard. Mm. I'm the same size as both of them.
Okay.
Height, not weight. But to be able to hoop at 5'10", like at any level, like beyond high school, is insane. I heard somebody say this the other day. This is a total squirrel moment. Think about how ridiculous Muggsy Bogues must have been.
I know.
To play at 5'3".
I know. And
not just
able,
play, but like be
able
good.
To get to the rim too.
And be a dogged defender. Yeah. I mean, at 5'3", you are a foot shorter than Damian Lillard, who is a small guard. That's such an insane thing to me. So, but back to the Summer League guys. Chandler got the memo when he started for the rest of the Summer League session. Did a much better job of setting guys up. And then yesterday you had those guys get out there and get their opportunities.
Well, obviously no Donovan Klingon and then no Justin Mania, which tragically his mother passed away over the weekend, who I was just watching the Yankees and Rays game. They did a moment of silence because his dad, Omar, is an executive for the New York Yankees, and Justin Mania's mom passed away at their New Jersey home on Saturday.
Yeah.
Thoughts and prayers out to Justin Mania, but not in the lineup.
No, he's a great dude, and you just hate to see stuff like this happen to him.
But Donovan Klingon, let's get back to Klingon, because he kind of lived up to all of the expectations that folks were hoping to see. All of the things you were hoping to see out of Donovan Klingon, you got a little bit of it. You didn't get the scoring burst because, again, that's not who he is coming out of college, and that expectation probably shouldn't be there for Donovan Klingon at this point.
No.
But he played really, I mean, on the defensive end, it was exactly what you hoped and wanted to see.
I would say offensively, he's exactly where I thought he would be. I had real questions about the offense. He had stellar talent around him offensively. He had four guys that were major contributors of that UConn team, where his ability to be a factor offensively was, I'm going to be bigger than all of you, and I'm just going to clean stuff up. And he was very efficient in that. When he was asked to do anything outside of that box, it was tough for him. That development, it's going to be interesting to track this year. But defensively, he was actually even a little bit better than I thought he would be. Typically, bigs come to Summer League, and the first thing they struggle with is, number one, the fouls. He averaged less than 3 fouls a game. He had more blocks per game, 4.3, which is a Summer League record, than he did fouls at, was it 2.7? 2.8. He had less than 3 fouls a game and had more than 4 blocks per game. So a guy that is not chasing blocks, but operating as a rim protector, isn't fouling. So it tells you, number one, his timing is very good. It tells you his verticality is very good. He knows when to jump, when to stay down, doesn't reach.
I thought a lot of great things, too, were shot adjustment even. Like, when he wasn't getting hand on ball. And then after each game, he was talking about, I still need to work on that timing. Mm-hmm. My timing needs to be better on those floaters through the lane, because guys are just so much more polished in creating that extra space. But still deterring shots was something that now a lot of them fell. But it's exactly what you want to see from a guy like Donovan Klingon in his introduction to the NBA. Shot creators and shot finishers are going to be far better
come November. Yeah.
But right now, I thought it was a very good kind of introduction to him in NBA style of play.
Look, the last time the Blazers brought a big to Summer League was Zach Collins, and I wanted to rinse my eyes out with bleach.
Well, and we had the historic fouling game of Greg Oden, his first Summer League game, they didn't foul out then.
Greg Oden rule.
He had like 9 or 10 fouls in that game.
I think it was 12. So Dwight Howard and Greg Oden were both the reasons for that rule existing. I believe Channing Frye also did too.
Oh, hey.
Because Channing was on the broadcast. I believe he was mentioning that the other day. But yeah, I thought Donovan was a slight bit better defensively than I thought he was going to be, and he was a tick worse offensively than I thought he would be, and I didn't really have much of an expectation for him offensively. I think he's got to slow things down on the offensive end when he has the ball in the paint. When he's outside the paint operating as a passer, he looks like he's already there. He looks like he's already not Jokic, but he's a plus passer kind of in waiting. Defensively, it wasn't just protecting the rim. Like, he, even if he did park his butt in the paint, there were a couple plays that he made outside the paint, whether it was blocking the 3-point attempt in game three that got them the win, or it was blocking Jerry McCain on the 19-foot pull-up. Like, he operated defensively. He had one against Charlotte where he ended up getting called for a foul. It was not a foul. Absolutely not. But the ball gets hit ahead. He books it from the dash at the inbound spot and comes, flies across the paint and pins it at the top of the glass, and it gets a little bit of his hand on the follow through. And I'm sitting there going, that's a block, guys. What are we doing here? Like, if you get somebody's hand as you block the ball through to the rim, that's a block. The hand is ball. Like, but I mean, other than that, he flashed some defensive stuff that I was like, all right.
There's even more there. Think one thing people were hoping for was his footwork would not be an issue, right? Mm-hmm. He would not be a cement-footed, white, stiff.
No, big. Defensively, his footwork is good.
There were times in the first couple of games where it was like,
rushed.
Okay, where are we at here? And it made him look a little clumsy. I thought he settled in. I don't think that that's going to be a worry at all.
I think it was more happy feet from being nervous than anything else.
I'm going to ask you this question, and I'm going to throw this poll back up. I threw this poll up when you were down in Vegas on the Monday after his summer league debut. Donovan Klingon made his Trailblazers debut on Saturday. Options were already love him, solid start, need to see a lot more, or oh no. I'm going to throw that same poll up because I want to see what you believe and what the people believe after seeing Donovan Klingon throughout his entire summer league.
Okay.
All right.
I like it.
We'll get to that next. This is Danny and Dusty on The Fan. All right. We have resubmitted the poll from the beginning of summer league. Donovan Klingon and the Trailblazers wrap summer league now. We're revisiting this poll on the number 7 pick. Already love him. Solid start. Need to see a lot more. Or, oh no. Go and vote. Go and vote at Danny and Dusty. What is your thought on Donovan Klingon, 7th overall selection?
I think he came out and established exactly what I hoped he would, which was game one, look the way that he did, show real flashes, and then game two, show improvement. Game three, show improvement. Game four, show improvement. I think he legitimately improved every single game, which... it's an absolutely incredible kind of point. This again, I hate throwing him under the bus, but Zach Collins was an absolute tire fire in the 2017 Summer League. He did not look like any semblance of an NBA player. It was horrendous. I remember like peeling the skin off my face like, you're kidding me. You traded up for this?
Yeah, man.
And it got better, so to speak, but he was never and has never been more than like a really good backup big. Where Donovan Klingon, you can see the framework for the thing that will hold him back. It's not his offense. It's can he play 30 minutes? That's the thing we didn't get an answer to. Because he played like 26 minutes a game, like which is still more than he ever played.
I think that that's a good thing, though, heading into this year where he's not going to be the starting big as you enter the 24-25 season because it still will be DeAndre Ayton. And you can ease him into that, and then we can kind of see where he is at that point, right? Whether a move is made and DeAndre Ayton is dealt out of Portland and goes somewhere else, or Donovan Klingon goes and takes that job from DeAndre Ayton at some point. Which I think as the number 7 overall pick, you're hoping that that could happen with DA. But right now, that's not a question that needs to be answered in year one and right out the gate for the Portland Trailblazers, which good to have that problem.
Yeah, I mean, I had somebody ask, Sprague and I did Jack Ramsey's on Friday. Somebody asked if the Trailblazers have the deepest center rotation in the league. And I think it's pretty easy to argue that's yes. DeAndre Ayton, Donovan Klingon, Robert Williams, Duop Reith.
That's pretty deep. I don't know how you're going to carry all four of them throughout the entire season, but yeah, right now.
Right now, and I think that's a good spot for like you're protecting Donovan.
Yep.
And I think that is a good thing.
No way. You're not just going to throw him to the wolves right away?
Oh, no way.
What a novel concept.
Weird.
All right, so are you at already love him or solid start?
Solid start.
Need to see more.
Solid start.
All right, 64.3% of the respondents so far say solid start. 35.7% say already love him. The oh no and need to see a lot more. Still, we don't have any votes for those yet.
Yeah.
All right.
No, I don't think you could.
It's a stark contrast to what we had at the very beginning. That's why I wanted to revisit this to see where people are at.
If you're saying oh no right now, I don't know what you're watching. Legitimately, I don't know what you're watching.
I think those were oh no after the very first game.
Oh no, I'm talking about now.
I know. But after the very first game, it was there were a lot of people who were like, I don't. It looked a little spastic at times.
Sure.
You said the happy feet. It settled into a really good spot.
I oh no is Nick Batum. Oh no is Zach Collins. Like those are the summer leagues where you're like, oh no. Like Zach did not look like an NBA player.
No.
Nick Batum did not look like an NBA player.
Mm-mm.
What was different was the difference.
Still loved Nick, though, because you saw little flashes of his athleticism.
Yeah.
But he just looked scared.
He was terrified. Yeah. He's talked about that. And the difference was the time period between the end of summer league and the regular season starting, Nick Batum matured mentally and was starting day one as an 18-year-old.
Yeah. That's pretty nuts, dude.
Yeah, like, and he was good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, it's not the end-all be-all of, like, Summer League, but I've never seen a big look as good as Donovan did on the things that matter, like rim protection, rebounding, not fouling, being controlled, all those things, and then have it not carry over. There's going to be some change. Actual NBA players, NBA athletes are different. Like, the speed's going to be another notch up. But from college to summer league, that's like a graduation. That's what that is. Like, you're moving on to like, oh, summer league sucks. Buddy, those dudes will absolutely fry 99% of the world.
Every one of them is a pro.
Yeah, like,
by definition.
Legitimately. And most of them will go play overseas or play in the G League, and they can play. And they are crazy athletes.
All right, speaking of guys overseas that can play, Team USA dodged a bullet on Saturday.
Yeah, they might not dodge one today.
And they are playing Germany, right meow, in London as part of the USA Basketball Showcase. We'll give you an update on what's going on against Germany. And we have got lawyers involved.
Mm.
There will be lawyers. Indeed. There are lawyers. Basketball coverage on the Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Hour number two right around the corner on the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Portland Trail Blazers wrapped up Summer League yesterday with a win over the Houston Rockets, 105-95. No Donovan Clingan in that game. They shut him down. They said, young man, you did a great job.
Yeah, Game 5 is also the way that Summer League set up now. It's kind of an agent favors kind of a deal.
Okay.
That's when you get guys out there who you're gonna help them out and help them get some tape to put out there. You've got your guy who's now played 4 games in a week who has never done that before at this level. Well, so,
and that was like the yesterday was a great example of what you're talking about with Kennedy Chandler, who he got his like yesterday and he tried that game 1.
Yeah. Kendrick Davis.
Kendrick Davis
was the one who did it in game one. And
Kendrick Davis.
Yeah, he got the memo when he got moved to the bench as Chandler took over as point guard. That was a real thing that happened. Davis
Kennedy Chandler looked good, though.
Look, they're both 5'11".
Mm-hmm.
For those on the radio audience, I'm air quoting very hard. Mm. I'm the same size as both of them.
Okay.
Height, not weight. But to be able to hoop at 5'10", like at any level, like beyond high school,
yeah,
is insane. I heard somebody say this the other day. This is a total squirrel moment. Think about how ridiculous Muggsy Bogues must have been.
I know.
To play at 5'3".
I know. And not
just
able,
play, but like be good.
Able to get to the rim too.
And be a dogged defender.
Yeah.
I mean, at 5'3", you are a foot shorter than Damian Lillard, who is a small guard. That's such an insane thing to me. So, but back to the summer league guys. Chandler got the memo when he started for the rest of the summer league session. Did a much better job of setting guys up. And then yesterday you had those guys get out there and get their opportunities.
Well, obviously no Donovan Clingan and then no Justin Mania, which tragically his mother passed away over the weekend. Who I was just watching the Yankees and Rays game. They did a moment of silence because his dad Omar is an executive for the New York Yankees, and Justin Mania's mom passed away at their New Jersey home on Saturday.
Yeah,
and God. Thoughts and prayers out to Justin Mania, in the lineup.
No, he's a great dude, and you just hate to see stuff like this happen to him.
But Donovan Clingan, let's get back to Clingan, because
yeah,
he kind of lived up to all of the expectations that folks were hoping to see. All of the things you were hoping to see out of Donovan Clingan, you got a little bit of it. You didn't get the scoring burst because, again, that's not who he is coming out of college, and that expectation probably shouldn't be there for Donovan Clingan at this point.
No.
But he played really, I mean, on the defensive end, it was exactly what you hoped and wanted to see.
I would say offensively, he's exactly where I thought he would be. I had real questions about the offense. He had stellar talent around him offensively. He had four guys that were major contributors of that UConn team, where his ability to be a factor offensively was, I'm going to be bigger than all of you, and I'm just going to clean stuff up. And he was very efficient in that. When he was asked to do anything outside of that box, it was tough for him. That development, it's going to be interesting to track this year. But defensively, he was actually even a little bit better than I thought he would be. Typically, bigs come to summer league, and the first thing they struggle with is, number one, the fouls. He averaged less than three fouls a game. He had more blocks per game, 4.3, which is a summer league record, than he did fouls at, was it 2.7? 2.8. He had less than three fouls a game and had more than four blocks per game. So a guy that is not chasing blocks, but operating as a rim protector, isn't fouling. So it tells you, number one, his timing is very good. It tells you his verticality is very good. He knows when to jump, when to stay down, doesn't reach.
I thought a lot of great things, too, were shot adjustment, even. Like, even when he wasn't getting hand on ball. And then after each game, he was talking about, I still need to work on that timing. Mm-hmm. My timing needs to be better on those floaters through the lane, because guys are just so much more polished in creating that extra space. But still deterring shots was something that now a lot of them fell. But it's exactly what you want to see from a guy like Donovan Clingan in his introduction to the NBA. Shot creators and shot finishers are going to be far better
come November.
Yeah. But right now, I thought it was a very good kind of introduction to him in NBA style of play.
Look, the last time the Blazers brought a big to summer league was Zach Collins, and I wanted to rinse my eyes out with bleach.
Well, and we had the historic fouling game of Greg Oden, his first summer league game. Fouled where I think out. It was no, they didn't foul out then.
The Greg Oden rule.
He had like 9 or 10 fouls in that game.
I think it was 12. So Dwight Howard and Greg Oden were both the reasons for that rule existing. I believe Channing Frye also did too.
Oh, hey,
because Channing was on the broadcast. I believe he was mentioning that the other day. But yeah, I thought Donovan was a slight bit better defensively than I thought he was going to be, and he was a tick worse offensively than I thought he would be, and I didn't really have much of an expectation for him offensively. I think he's got to slow things down on the offensive end when he has the ball in the paint. When he's outside the paint operating as a passer, he looks like he's already there. He looks like he's already not Jokic, but he's a plus passer kind of in waiting. Defensively, it wasn't just protecting the rim. Even if he did park his butt in the paint, there were a couple plays that he made outside the paint, whether it was blocking the three-point attempt in game three that got them the win, or it was blocking Jerry McCain on the 19-foot pull-up. Like, he operated defensively. He had one against Charlotte where he ended up getting called for a foul. It was not a foul. Absolutely not. But the ball gets hit ahead. He books it from the dash at the inbound spot and comes, flies across the paint and pins it at the top of the glass, and it gets a little bit of his hand on the follow through. And I'm sitting there going, that's a block, guys. What are we doing here? Like, if you get somebody's hand as you block the ball through to the rim, that's a block. The hand is ball. Like, but I mean, other than that, he flashed some defensive stuff that I was like, all right.
Think one thing people were hoping for was his footwork would not be an issue, right? Mm-hmm. He would not be a cement-footed, stiff.
No, big. Defensively, his footwork is good.
There were times in the first couple of games where it was like,
rushed.
Okay, where are we at here? And it made him look a little clumsy. I thought he settled in. I don't think that's going to be a worry at all.
I think it was more happy feet from being nervous than anything else.
I'm going to ask you this question, and I'm going to throw this poll back up. I threw this poll up when you were down in Vegas on the Monday after his summer league debut. Donovan Clingan made his Trailblazers debut on Saturday. Options were already love him, solid start, need to see a lot more, or oh no. I'm going to throw that same poll up because I want to see what you believe, mm-hmm, and what the people believe after seeing Donovan Clingan throughout his entire summer league.
Okay.
All right.
I like it.
We'll get to that next. This is Danny and Dusty on The Fan. All right. We have resubmitted the poll from the beginning of summer league. Donovan Clingan and the Trailblazers wrap summer league now. We're revisiting this poll on the number 7 pick. Already love him. Solid start. Need to see a lot more. Or, oh no. Go and vote. Go and vote at Danny and Dusty. What is your thought on Donovan Clingan, 7th overall selection?
I think he came out and established exactly what I hoped he would, which was game one, look the way that he did, show real flashes, and then game two, show improvement. Game three, show improvement. Game four, show improvement. I think he legitimately improved every single game, which it's an absolutely incredible kind of point. This again, I hate throwing him under the bus, but Zach Collins was an absolute tire fire in the 2017 Summer League. He did not look like any semblance of an NBA player. It was horrendous. I remember like peeling the skin off my face, like, you're kidding me. You traded up for this?
Yeah, man.
And it got better, so to speak, but he was never and has never been more than like a really good backup big. Where Donovan Klingon, you can see the framework for the thing that will hold him back. It's not his offense. It's can he play 30 minutes? That's the thing we didn't get an answer to. Because he played like 26 minutes a game, like, which is still more than he ever played.
I think that that's a good thing, though, heading into this year, where he's not going to be the starting big as you enter the 24-25 season, because it still will be DeAndre Ayton. And you can ease him into that, and then we can kind of see where he is at that point, right? Whether a move is made and DeAndre Ayton is dealt out of Portland, goes somewhere else, or Donovan Klingon goes and takes that job from DeAndre Ayton at some point. Which I think as the number 7 overall pick, you're hoping that that could happen with DA. But right now, that's not a question that needs to be answered in year one and right out the gate for the Portland Trailblazers, which good to have that problem.
Yeah, I mean, I had somebody ask, Sprague and I did Jack Ramsey's on Friday. Somebody asked if the Trailblazers have the deepest center rotation in the league. And I think it's pretty easy to argue that's yes. DeAndre Ayton, Donovan Klingon, Robert Williams, Duop Reith.
That's pretty deep.
I
don't know how you're going to carry all four of them throughout the entire season, but yeah, right now.
Right now, and I think that's a good spot for like you're protecting Donovan.
Yep.
And I think that is a good thing.
No way. You're not just going to throw him to the wolves right away?
Oh, no way.
What a novel concept.
Weird.
All right, so are you at already love him or solid start?
Solid start.
Need to see more.
Solid start.
All right, 64.3% of the respondents so far say solid start. 35.7 say already love him. The oh no and need to see a lot more. Still, we don't have any votes for those yet.
Yeah.
All right.
No, I don't think you can.
It's a stark contrast to what we had at the very beginning. That's why I wanted to revisit this to see where people are at.
If you're saying oh no right now, I don't know what you're watching. I don't know what you're watching.
I think those were oh no after the very first game.
Oh no, I'm talking about now.
I know. But after the very first game, there were a lot of people who were like, I don't, it looked a little spastic at times.
Sure.
You said the happy feet. It settled into a really good spot.
I oh no is Nick Batum. Oh no is Zach Collins. Like those are the summer leagues where you're like, oh no. Like Zach did not look like an NBA player.
No.
Nick Batum did not look like an NBA player.
Mm-mm.
What was different was the difference.
Still loved Nick, though, because you saw little flashes of his athleticism.
Yeah.
But he just looked
He was terrified. Yeah. He's talked about that. And the difference was the time period between the end of summer league and the regular season starting, Nick Batum matured mentally and was starting day one as an 18-year-old.
Yeah, that's pretty nuts, dude.
Yeah, and he was good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's not the end-all be-all of Summer League, but I've never seen a big look as good as Donovan did on the things that matter, like rim protection, rebounding, not fouling, being controlled, all those things, and then have it not carry over. There's going to be some change. Actual NBA players, NBA athletes are different. Like, the speed's going to be another up. But from college to summer league, that's like a graduation. That's what that is. Like, you're moving on to oh, summer league sucks. Buddy, those dudes will absolutely fry 99% of the world.
Every one of them is a pro.
Yeah, like,
by definition.
Legitimately. And most of them will go play overseas or play in the G League, and they can play. And they are crazy athletes.
All right, speaking of guys overseas that can play, Team USA dodged a bullet on Saturday.
Yeah, they might not dodge one today.
And they are playing Germany, right meow, in London as part of the USA Basketball Showcase. We'll give you an update on what's going on against Germany. And we have got lawyers involved. There will be lawyers. Indeed. There are lawyers. Basketball coverage on The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Hour number two right around the corner on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
All right, we have resubmitted the poll from the beginning of Summer League. Donovan Clingan and the Trailblazers wrap Summer League now. We're revisiting this poll on the number 7 pick. Already love him? Solid start. Need to see a lot more. Or, oh no. Go and vote. Go and vote. At Danny and Dusty. What is your thought on Donovan Clingan, 7th overall selection?
I think he came out and established exactly what I hoped he would, which was game one, look the way that he did, show real flashes, and then game two, show improvement. Game three, show improvement. Game four, show improvement. I think he legitimately improved every single game, which it's an absolutely incredible kind of point. This again, I hate throwing him under the bus, but Zach Collins was an absolute tire fire in the 2017 Summer League. He did not look like any semblance of an NBA player. It was horrendous. I remember like peeling the skin off my face like, you're kidding me. You traded up for this?
Yeah, man.
And it got better, so to speak, but he was never and has never been more than like a really good backup big. Where Donovan Clingan, you can see the framework for the thing that will hold him back. It's not his offense. It's, can he play 30 minutes? That's the thing we didn't get an answer to. Because he played like 26 minutes a game, like, which is still more than he ever played.
I think that that's a good thing, though, heading into this year, where he's not going to be the starting big as you enter the 24-25 season. Because it still will be DeAndre Ayton. And you can ease him into that. And then we can kind of see where he is at that point, right? Whether a move is made and DeAndre Ayton is dealt out of Portland and goes somewhere else. Or Donovan Clingan goes and takes that job from DeAndre Ayton at some point, which I think as the number 7 overall pick, you're hoping that that could happen with DA. But right now, that's not a question that needs to be answered in year one and right out the gate for the Portland Trailblazers, which good to have that problem.
Yeah, I mean, I had somebody ask Sprague and I did Jack Ramsey's on Friday. Somebody asked if the Trailblazers have the deepest center rotation in the league, and I think it's pretty easy to argue that's yes. DeAndre Ayton, Donovan Clingan, Robert Williams, Duop Reath.
That's pretty deep.
I mean,
I don't know how you're going to carry all four of them throughout the entire season, but yeah, right now.
Right now, and I think that's a good spot for like you're protecting Donovan.
Yep.
And I think that is a good thing.
No way. You're not just going to throw him to the wolves right away?
Oh, no way.
What a novel concept.
Weird.
All right, so are you at already love him or solid start?
Solid start.
Need to see more.
Solid start.
All right, 64.3% of the respondents so far say solid start. 35.7 say already love him. The oh no and need to see a lot more. Still, we don't have any votes
scant,
for those yet.
Yeah.
All right.
No, I don't think you could.
It's a stark contrast to what we had at the very beginning. That's why I wanted to revisit this to see where people are at.
If you're saying oh no right now, I don't know what you're watching. I don't know what you're watching.
I think those were oh no after the very first game.
Oh, no, I'm talking about now.
I know. But after the very first game, there were a lot of people who were like, I don't, it looked a little spastic at times.
Sure.
You said the happy feet. It settled into a really good spot.
I oh no is Nick Batum. Oh no is Zach Collins. Like those are the summer leagues where you're like, oh no. Like Zach did not look like an NBA player.
No.
Nick Batum did not look like an NBA player.
Mm-mm.
What was different was the difference.
Still loved Nick though because you saw little flashes of his athleticism.
Yeah.
But he just looked—he's
terrified,
scared.
He was terrified. Yeah. He's talked about that. And the difference was the time period between the end of summer league and the regular season starting. Nick Batum matured mentally and was starting day one as an 18-year-old.
Yeah. That's pretty nuts, dude.
Yeah, like, and he was good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, it's not the end-all, be-all of, like, Summer League, but I've never seen a big look as good as Donovan did on the things that matter, like rim protection, rebounding, not fouling, being controlled, all those things, and then have it not carry over. There's going to be some change. The actual NBA players, NBA athletes are different. Like, the speed's going to be another notch up. But from college to summer league, that's like a graduation. That's what that is. Like, you're moving on to like, oh, summer league sucks. Buddy, those dudes will absolutely fry 99% of the world.
Every one of them is a pro.
Yeah, like.
By definition.
Legitimately. And most of them will go play overseas or play in the G League, and they can play. And they are crazy athletes.
All right, speaking of guys overseas that can play, Team USA dodged a bullet on Saturday.
Yeah, they might not dodge one today.
And they are playing Germany, right meow, in London as part of the USA Basketball Showcase. We'll give you an update on what's going on against Germany. And we have got lawyers involved.
Mm.
There will be lawyers. Indeed. There are lawyers. Basketball coverage on the Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Hour number two right around the corner on the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.